What it is, Brad Lee back again with another episode of Dropping Bombs today in the studio. Folks, as always, I'm bringing you a real treat. Rory Vaden in the house.
What's up, brother?
What's up? Now, guys, if you guys don't know who this dude is, you've been sleeping and he's been working. He's not a big social media guru that runs around trying to collect followers. He's out making millions and teaching other people how to do it. You can find him at Rory Vaden. That's V-A-D-E-N, or at Brand Builders Group. And that's what he is. He's the founder of Brand Builders Group. And you've already exited a few deals. You got a book. You're an author. I'm not giving it justice, but you're definitely in the know when it comes how to when it comes to building successful businesses and brands.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Yeah, we've had six different multi seven figure businesses and two 8 figures. Brand Builders Group is our second 8 figure business, and so we went from 0 to 8 figures in 5 years.
Quick.
The second time. So we've been doing that, and then we're a personal brand strategy firm. So we help experts and entrepreneurs become more wealthy and well known. And we've worked with Ed Milet, Lewis Howes, Eric Thomas, E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher, Amy Porterfield, Jasmine Starr, and it goes on and on.
So soon to be Brad Lee.
Soon to be Brad Lee, which is crazy, man, to think about what the next level would look like from you based on where you're already at is exciting, because you actually give a crap about helping people. And that's, you know, we describe our audience as mission-driven messengers. So they like money. They want to make money. But money is subservient to the idea of impact.
Yeah.
And reputation subservient to revenue. So thanks for having me, man. Let's do this.
Now, this says, Rory has spent his lifetime studying ultra performers and discovering consistent, predictable strategies that can be used to achieve impossible goals, accelerate income growth, and even attain globally renowned influence. You see, studied them all. Like, give me like for the listeners here. Cause by the way, listeners, if you guys are thinking, well, shit, dude, I just own a business. Listen, entrepreneurs, pay attention. If you build a personal brand and gain this influence that Rory helps people scale and establish, like you can take a nobody and turn them into somebody. You've done it a bunch of times. If somebody's listening, they own a business, they're thinking, well, I'm not that guy. I just want to grow my business. How powerful can a personal brand help a business grow?
It's huge. Let's use some data. So we did a study called the Trends in Personal Branding National Research Studies, the largest like PhD-led, academically valid, you know, statistically, empirically like validated research study in the U.S. And it was a general population study of the U.S., 74% of Americans say they're more likely to trust somebody with an established personal brand. Not only that, they say they're more likely to work for you, recommend you, buy from you. 58% of Americans actually say they will spend more money buying the same service from someone who has a personal brand rather than just a company, just because they know the person behind the business. So whether you're recruiting people or you're attracting customers, or you're just, you know, making a difference in the world, personal branding is, we can prove it empirically now, like it's directly tied to the revenue growth of the business.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything more powerful for me. Like I accidentally kind of built a little brand, personal brand, and it now drives a lot of the businesses.
Well, so, and the thing that people misunderstand about personal branding, especially entrepreneurs, like for us real entrepreneurs, we think of personal branding as like, oh, it's like dancing on TikTok and like, or showing off the private jet or like making videos on how to make homemade bread. Like that's not it. In fact, we don't even define personal branding as anything related to like social media or podcasts or YouTube, anything per se. Really, personal branding is just the digitization of reputation. So personal branding might seem irrelevant or cute or new or scary or awkward or weird or something stupid or that I don't care about. But when you realize, no, it's the same, the real truth here is it's reputation, and reputation precedes revenue in every business. And it has always been that way. What personal branding is doing that's so powerful is it allows us to automate trust at scale and drive more awareness and leads for the business. And so just what you said, I mean, you're a great example of it. Like you built such a great personal brand. It's really just your reputation multiplied through, you know, the mechanisms and the vehicles of today. And that's like, yeah, that shows up in real business results. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it does. I was going to ask, what do you think of the difference? And you just said the word trust. It's almost like people automatically trust you more.
Oh, they do. And in the, one of the things in the research study, we said 30% of Americans say they're more likely to go on a date with someone who has an established personal brand. So, you know, ooh la la. Like,
dude, there's a couple that we know, we've gotten to know, the real nice couple. They left their kid at our house a couple times. I've never met the parents. I'd never leave my kid at someone's house without knowing the parents.
Sure.
And the family, for that matter. Well, we were spent some time with them this last weekend, and I asked him, I said, bro, how would you just leave your kid at some stranger's house? He said, dude, I followed you for 4 years on social media. Like, it's Brad Lee. Like, that's fine. Which is crazy because he knew me. I just didn't know him.
Yeah.
And he literally said, dude, it's Brad Lee. Like, he trusts me implicitly with your kid. Like, that's major trust when someone trusts you with their kid.
Absolutely. And it's like, don't overcomplicate it. Like, how do you build trust with somebody? So first of all, we trust people that we see. The more we see someone, the more we trust them. That's why we trust movie stars. We don't even know what their freaking real name is, but we trust them because we see them. So we trust people we see. We trust people that we know details about, right? If you made a list of the top 10 people in your life that you trust the most, there's a good chance they know where you went to college, what your spouse's name is, what your favorite food is, what's the stupidest thing you've ever done. You know, and then we trust people that we learn from. We trust teachers, pastors, counselors, mentors. So you can build trust by being seen, literally, by people knowing details about your intimate details about your life, and by teaching people all things that happen and are automated at scale if you use the tools of the day. So even though you don't know them, they do know you. That's trust, and that translates into real business, as well as people dropping off their kids at your house for free daycare.
Yeah. I mean, dude, real business, I'll tell you, it's crazy. Like I said, I'm establishing businesses and sprouting them very, very rapidly just because of the personal brand.
Yeah.
I'm able to, excuse me, recruit for them very, 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 very rapidly. Get, let's just say better deals or better agreements because of my personal brand, meaning, oh, well, you're Brad Lee, so I'm going to give you a higher compensation model or a better delivery schedule or whatever. So I get favoritism. I get advantages just from a personal brand. So again, back to you guys, Bomb Squad, pay attention. If you're a subject matter expert, if you're a author, you know, but your book didn't do very well, or you want to be, you know, or you're a business owner, man. If you want to build a personal brand, number one, I would highly suggest you do it. And number two, I would highly suggest you reach out to Rory and figure out how to do it. I mean, the why, you'll figure that out. But how is the question. Now, again, my little branding workshop downstairs, that'll teach people how to, you know, blow up on social media. It's not teaching the length of things that you do. We don't work with them hand in hand and create the strategy like you do. And when I say we, it's me.
Yeah.
Putting on an event. Matter of fact, I want you to speak there because those people that come to that will be natural candidates for your program.
Yeah, they're serious. And I think a lot of people, you know, you learn social media as a tactic, right? But if you think about the reputation is more fundamental. And then what do you want to be known for? Like, that's a harder question. It's easier to go like, here's how to edit a video. Here's how to do a thumbnail. Here's how to title a hook. Like, here's how to write a caption. It's a much more difficult, intimate question and conversation to go, what do you want to be known for? What have you earned the right to talk about? Why should anybody listen to you? And that is where we really dive in. And the best piece of personal branding advice I've ever received, this is actually not a Rory Vaden quote. I wish it was. This comes from a guy named Larry Winget. And Larry.
Oh, Larry Winget.
You know Larry Winget?
Grow a pair.
That's right. Yeah.
Old Larry Winget.
Yep. So I heard He said, I heard him say this when I was just starting my speaking career in my 20s. He said, the goal is to find your uniqueness and exploit it in the service of others. Find your uniqueness and exploit it in the service of others. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, that's it. That's so brilliant. That is what we should be doing. But Larry was never in the business of teaching people how to find their uniqueness. And so when we sold our first company in 2018, which is an eight-figure business that did sales training, we sold that. We had a non-compete, had to go into a different space. And it was like, oh, we should teach people how to find what's the one thing you should be doing. What's the one thing you can talk about that nobody else can do? That combined with Lewis Howes randomly called us right as we exited our former company and asked if we could spend some time with him on his business. And then he was the one that said, this is your new business. Cause we were not planning on starting this business. And he was like, no, this is what you guys are supposed to do. But that's the thing is, how do you find your uniqueness? And where you start, Brad, and this is where a lot of people can't, you ask somebody, what do you do? And they trip all over themselves to explain what it is that they do. And it's usually because they're not clear on what and their value is to somebody. And so the genesis of building a personal brand in the way that we talk about it is you got to answer one simple question in one word, which is what problem do you solve? Because people buy solutions to problems.
Yes, they do. I say that all the time. I'm like, guys, quit trying to sell your product. They don't buy the product. They buy the solution. They buy the result.
Yeah.
So sell the result. It's so much easier.
Sell the result, yes. And sell the problem. Be an ambassador of the problem, right? Like,
so what would mine be?
Well, we can talk about you, but let me give you some other examples of people who are not clients of ours. So Brené Brown became one of the most influential people in the world.
Brené Brown.
Yeah. So she's,
Not that influential because I don't know who she is.
You don't know who Brené Brown is?
Who's Brené Brown?
Oh my gosh, dude. Anyways, Google Brené Brown. She's a beast.
What does she do?
She make you look like a little baby with your personal brand. Right?
Who is she?
Brené Brown is... She was a researcher from the University of Houston, and she started studying the word shame. She dedicated her life to studying shame. Brené Brown owns the conversation around shame.
Really?
And she,
that's why I don't know her.
That's why you don't have any. You don't have any shame. It's true. So, but you cannot talk about the topic of shame and not mention Brené Brown. So here's one that you probably know. You probably don't like him. Well, I don't know. I'll be curious to see your take on this. Okay. So this friend of mine, not a client, Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey owns the word debt. Dave Ramsey has built a multi nine-figure business, has 1,000 employees, reaches 17 million people on the radio every single week, teaching the same seven baby steps over and over every day for 3 hours on the radio for 30 years, talking about getting debt free. Debt is dumb. You may or may not like Dave Ramsey, but if you have debt and you want to be debt free, he's going to come into play. So he owns that conversation. So when I first broke through the wall, so my first book hit the New York Times when I was 29 years old. My first book is called Take the Stairs. It's about the psychology of overcoming procrastination.
Well, I need that too.
Okay, well, we could talk about that too. So that was like OG Rory's personal brand. That was how I broke through the wall and was speaking. We had research all around the psychology of overcoming procrastination. And then I wrote a follow-up book called How to Multiply Time. Well, my TED talk that went viral was called How to Multiply Time. And then I wrote a second book on procrastinating on purpose, which talked about the difference between strategic procrastination and lazy procrastination. But anyways, that was it. Brand Builders Group. We only do one thing. We solve the issue of obscurity. People who are unclear, untrusted, or unknown. And we help them become wealthy and well-known. So, and we only work with personal brands. So we have a very clear niche audience of who we serve and a very specific problem that we solve. If you're struggling with obscurity, if you feel like I should be known by more people, I have a calling to share what I do with more people, but you haven't yet figured out how to get that to happen, that's our person, right? There's a million other things that we don't do.
Well, just so we don't lose them or wait till the end, what's the link that you set up for me?
Yeah, totally. So if you go to freebrandcall.com/Brad Lee, freebrandcall.com/Brad Lee, we actually...
Is that L-E-A? Did you guys spell it right?
L-E-A, yeah, man. Right. We got you.
freebrandcall.com/Brad Lee.
I spell it right, L-E-A.
She'd have just said bombs or bomb squad.
I mean, I thought about doing that, but our team...
Because people are going to type in L-E-E, but whatever. They're listening. Pay attention. /Brad Lee.
And we do the first call. So we do one-on-one human strategy work.
Yeah, it's a consultation.
Yeah, so we do the first call for free, and we help people, you know, figure out. And it's they're not all authors and speakers. I mean, we have helped 29 clients become New York Times, Wall Street Journal, or USA Today bestselling authors. We have helped 6 clients create TED Talks that have gone viral with over 1 million views. Like, but it's most of our clients are entrepreneurs who want to use their personal brand as a lead source to drive more awareness for the thing they're already doing, which is what business. You do. Yeah. You're like the actual, you're not really pitching courses and stuff, like you're building businesses and you're using your personal brand as a marketing engine to drive awareness to the stuff you're doing that has enterprise value.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm interested in figuring out, you know, when we can get started. I want you guys to like elevate my brand more, develop the strategy. Cause again, like, you know, a lot of people come in here and they think, oh boy, he's got this plan. I don't really have a plan. I thought to myself, listen, I watched so many people build a brand and blow up financially, their businesses, everything. And I'm like, dude, I need a personal brand then. So I'm going to start building one. That's all I thought. I'm going to start building one. So I started building one.
Yep.
And now I guess I got one. And people are like, well, what are you doing with it? And I'm like, well, you know, again, I definitely get business. I get speeches for 50K a pop. I get freaking, and mainly that's why they're hiring me to speak at these events. They don't care that I built multiple companies, successful companies.
They're using you to sell tickets.
They say, hey, dude, people love this guy.
Yeah.
If he's on stage, tickets will sell or help sell, which they do. So again, to me, that's just personal brand. It's not the experience that I've done. It's not the fact that I've actually, you know, accomplished these things. It's because of a personal brand.
Which one thing I do really appreciate about you is that you have built a real business. Like there's a lot of people teaching business where it's like their only business is understanding the algorithm and how it works, not actually building real businesses. And so I have a real respect for people who are doing it. And even though I acknowledge everything that you said is just true, that you don't have like a super clear strategy, you just kind of started doing it because you're an action taker. You're actually executing, Brad, the most important strategy of all when it comes to building a personal brand. And so I'll share with you what we believe that is. So when we find someone's uniqueness, that's normally like a 2-day experience. They come and spend 2 days with us and we get clear on 4 things. What problem do you solve in 1 word? Who do you solve that problem for? How do you solve it in 1 sentence? And what's the 1 revenue stream above all others that matters beyond anything else? So that's a 2-day experience, right? Normally when we're working with people, that's what we're starting with.
How do you narrow it down though? Cause I got so many.
Well, we could talk about that. So, but let me tell you the thing that you're doing that I think is part of why what you're doing is working. Because when we started the company, we didn't know this, but now having gone through this process with a couple thousand people, we realized a pattern. And if I had to go, what's the shortcut to finding somebody's uniqueness? What we started to realize is that for all of us, you are most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. And whether you're doing it consciously or not, you do an incredible job of speaking to the person you once were, of giving them the truth about how to go from nothing to something, how to go from being a nobody to a somebody, how to, you know, not be impressed with like fake stuff, but to do the real deal and sharing that journey honestly. And, you know, I think a lot of it is making money, right? You've been very successful financially and like, and that's your story, right? Your subconscious, maybe, I don't know if you're doing this consciously. If you're not, I think it will probably help clarify things for you to go, I want to speak to the person that I once was. And I want to speak to the person who is who I once was, who's at that divergent path where they're about to decide whether they become like me, the me I am today, or they end up becoming the loser or the, you know, person that underperforms and doesn't reach their potential. And you actually do that really, really well. But my guess is it's probably more subconscious.
Accidental, you mean?
Accidental.
Yeah. Well, it technically it is, because when you said that, I'm like, dude, that makes sense. See, I never really realized that. But now that you frame it that way, yeah, I do speak to those people, I believe, that I used to be. But I also speak to people that I want to be. There's a lot of people that are successful as hell that listen to the show, follow me on social media. I mean, like, dude, I get impressed sometimes where it's like, they reach out and they ask a question and I'm like, you know, so what do you do? Or, you know, where are you? And, you know, well, I got a company doing, you know, a little over 40 million. And I'm like, how? And you're following me? But that's just my, I don't want to call it insecurity. It's my, it's almost like, you know, little old me type of thing. Like, why would you be following me? But then I start to think about it and I think, well, of course they could follow me, but you're right. I speak to those that are like I used to be.
Well,
and or maybe let me just add this. Cause this might be what's happening.
Okay.
The ones that I used to be are listening more because they're where I used to be and they want to be where I am. The ones that are already where I am and maybe even a little farther, I think they still listen a little bit, not as much because they're already where I'm at or farther, but I think I entertain some of those. So I think I have a unique mixture of knowledge with entertainment.
You do have that. That's your style though, but that's not like your identity. The reason that those people listen to you is because it's still the person that you used to be, which is still the person you are now, which is somebody who wants more. And with all that you have achieved, you still are thinking bigger, right? Before we turned on the mics here, we were just talking about like, what's the vision for your personal brand, right? Like you have a great personal brand and yet you're talking about, hey, I want to talk to you about what we might be able to do for you to go to the next level. And what's the next level of this business look like? What's the next level of your personal brand? You are aspiring for more. And the person with the $40 million business, they're still aspiring for more. And that's what the people who listen to this show are going, and they're probably people like you who were the people that want more, but they don't want it in the traditional, they don't want to follow the traditional path of how people were told to get more, go to school, get a job, climb the ladder. Like they're the people going, no one is going to block me from my success. Just put me in a room with someone that knows how to have a dogfight and I'll learn from them and I will figure it out. And I'm not waiting for anyone in an ivory tower to sign off on the fact that my dream is good enough to pursue. I just need to be around other people who have done it and who want more and they continue to want more. And that's you, bro. And you are a representative of that nation. And that's why they still follow you.
Well, I would say I proudly represent that nation. Never forget where you're from is what I always say.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't always agree with that. Like sometimes you need to forget where you're from. You need to get away from all of it and change your environment and forget where you're from. But I understand when they say never forget where you're from, what they're really trying to say is, you know, don't get too big for your britches.
That's right.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I don't agree with never forget where you're from. Because, dude, the reason why a lot of people are failing is because of where they're from and what they're taught and what they've been surrounded with their whole life. They need to get away from that shit.
Yeah. And most of all, it's in your mind. Like the next level of results always requires the next level of thinking. You cannot go to a next level with the current mindset that you have. So it's like you have to drop all the old ways of thinking, because you have to become a different person in order to become a different result. And I think, you know, you get access to that between your guests and between you. So I agree. Like, and sometimes it's like you have to change your friend group and you have to change your behaviors. You got to drop old behaviors. You got to drop old thinking. You got to drop old habits. You got to drop old beliefs, old things that you used to think were true. And you go, oh, is that really true? And that's how we grow. And that's, I think, why, even though you and I think our styles are very different, right? I mean, like, you are funny and satirical and in your face and a brash. And I mean, I was raised by a single mom who sold Mary Kay cosmetics. I mean, you can't get more pretty boy than me. But like, we share the same passion for serving people. We share the same passion for getting better. And we share the same passion for finding the truth about what works, not gimmicks, not hacks, but like, how do you build things of substance? And so it's like, we actually are very philosophically aligned and values aligned, even though like stylistically, we occur pretty different in the world.
Mm. Well, that's another thing you just said that I think people need to listen to, because you know who listens? A lot of people that listen to this show are in network marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, if you're in a network marketing organization and you don't have a personal brand, oof, you're really losing it. I'm telling you what, she died. Everybody knows Jessie Lee that's in my network marketing. Do you know her?
I never knew her, but so many of the people I know knew her. They spoke very, very highly of her.
She was one of the most successful network marketers of all time. You know, Mary Kay or whatever you're in, it doesn't matter. If you're in network marketing, a personal brand will absolutely crush in your business. So that's another person that's listening that should be paying attention. If you're in network marketing, you build a personal brand, dude, you can leverage that personal brand to build such a massive, massive business. It's unbelievable.
Totally. Now, one thing I would say, so I was keynoting the Keller Williams Family Reunion National Convention yesterday, 17,000 people, Mel Robbins, Tony Robbins, me, Cody Sanchez, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, like really great lineup. And I was talking to real estate agents. And one of the mistakes I think real estate agents make is one of the same mistakes I think network marketers make with their personal brand, which is they talk all about their product, right? Like, here's the home that's just listed and just sold. And it's like, well, if I happen to be buying a home today, I care about that, but then I don't buy another home for 10 years. So I've got no reason to pay attention. And I think, you know, network marketing is like, you also don't want to just like talk about your product. I think one of the keys is, this is a content marketing strategy, you know, a more narrow conversation, but is to go, don't talk about your product. Create content that's useful for the type of people who benefit from your product. Because now they have a reason to keep showing up. Like, if your feed is just all about your product, I only need to go there one time to learn about it. It's like a website. But the way that social, what keeps me coming back is going, you're providing something that's useful to me. And, you know, when we look at content marketing strategy, we think of the three E's, and you really need to fit in one of these buckets. Your content either needs to be entertaining, encouraging, or educational. Entertaining, encouraging, or educational. Now, if you're entertaining like you, that's awesome. If you're not entertaining like me, I'm not like naturally entertaining. I got to really lean into encouraging and especially educational. But going, there's no reason somebody wants to come hear you talk about your product over and over. And there's no reason that strangers are going to care to see pictures of your kids or your cat. So your feed, the way we kind of delineate it is that your feed should be what you do and creating content that's useful for the type of people you do it for. And then your stories are who you are, more about your personal life. It's a behind the scenes access to like, you know, like you and I got into this discussion about how I'm a hardcore Bible thumping Jesus freak. And I was a very skeptical person for 20 years. And then I recently, you know, documented 20 years of evidence in a new podcast called Eternal Life, seven questions every intelligent skeptic should ask about Jesus of Nazareth. And I only documented it for my kids because I have a 6 and a 4-year-old. And I woke up one day terrified that what if I die before my kids are old enough for me to explain to them this analytical research that I've done on Jesus of Nazareth. And so I was like, oh, I need to record this. And it became a thing. So like, but I'm not talking about Jesus all the time on my feed. Sometimes, right? Especially now that I have a podcast that has some of that, it's there. But most of that happens in my stories. It's what am I doing? I'm hanging out with Brad Lee today. And
did you add a chapter on what his real name is?
Just for you, brother. We gotta have to record a special episode.
You should.
On
you wouldn't want your children to know his name?
Oh, well, he has many names.
No, he has one.
In his name is Yahweh. That is what he
calls
himself.
God. That's not Jesus.
Oh, you're talking about Jesus. Yes. Yeah, Jesus is Yeshua. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I mean, again, a lot of people don't know his name.
No. Yeah.
They think it's Jesus.
No, I mean, yeah, Jesus is a translation. I mean, and there's the Bible is very accurate historically, but there's the details of the Bible are not lost in translation. Like the big what happened is not lost in translation, but the context of the meaning of words is lost in translation because, you know, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew mostly, a little bit of Aramaic, mostly Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek, but then, the Septuagint is that's like the translation into additional languages. But the New Testament is, so the Septuagint is the Old Testament, originally written in Hebrew, translated to Greek. But then the Vulgate is the Greek New Testament translated into Latin, and then it's translated into English. So there's...
Then you got the King James Version.
Yeah, you have all sorts of versions. I mean, there's all different versions, which are all little like, kind of like how there's different dialects of, you know, a language. But anyways, that's something that I am interested in, mostly because I was skeptical. No one's going to follow me because I'm not a pastor. Right. I don't run a church. I don't run a nonprofit. We teach personal brands how to build and monetize their become more wealthy and well known. Right. But somebody might. Well, you know, we have this. Right. So in this came out in our research study, 2/3 of Americans say they're more likely to buy from a company where the values, the personal values of the founder of the company aligns with their own personal values. So some people will buy because of my style.
Yep.
Right? You and I could teach the exact same thing, and some people will gravitate to you because of your style, your values, and they go, I want someone who talks like Brad, looks like Brad, comes from where Brad comes from. And some people, interesting enough, go, well, I like the pretty boy nerdy guy that, you know, Rory is, and they connect with that. So it's just, it's different, but you know, we all have the power to serve and add value in our life. But anyways, for the network marketing thing, it's like create content that is useful for people and then you will grow, right? You're not, your feed is not you talking about Lightspeed VT every day.
Hardly ever, which is probably a mistake in a little ways. No,
maybe. I mean, there there's,
because there has to be a good blend,
a little blend. Yeah, there's got to be a blend of like business and personal and all of that.
People come in here and they're like, I had no idea you had all this or did all this. Like I always thought you were just a podcaster. I'm like, no. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even consider myself a podcaster. What's funny too is when you start to get these people like Cameo and, you know, these apps that supposedly have celebrities, which yeah. I wouldn't consider myself a celebrity, but they do. And so they asked me to be on Cameo. I'm like, oh, cool. Sure. You know, that's credible. Let me join. So I said yes. And then I thought, what the hell did they say I was? Like an entrepreneur or a CEO? Like what category am I in? Uh-huh. And I went and looked and I was a podcaster.
Nice.
They think I'm a famous podcaster.
Well, you are that. But you know what's interesting about the celebrity thing? It's like, you're a celebrity to anybody who you've helped, right? The teacher that changed your life or the mentor is like, they're always a celebrity to me. The people who changed my life, like they'll always be a celebrity to me. You know, Lewis will always be a celebrity to me because of.
Yeah, but Lewis is somewhat of a celebrity.
Yeah, yeah, he is. And he's becoming more so. So many of our clients. I mean, E.T., the hip hop preacher, man, like.
He's a celeb.
He's a freaking celebrity. I mean, of all of my clients, like when we go somewhere with, I'm with E.T., it's annoying. We get stopped every 5 feet. Like, and people come up and break down crying. You changed my life. Your videos, you know, my cousin was going to commit suicide and your videos saved. I mean, it's like.
Well, he's got some powerful messages.
He's got powerful messages, but
driven by God.
Driven by God.
That's why they call him the hip hop preacher.
Yeah, but you know,
everybody likes E.T. though.
Yeah, it's hard not to like E.T. But
you know, and then Lewis. Everyone has haters.
Everyone has haters. Too.
Really? I've never met a hater on E.T.
Sure, people are. It's the same. It's the same like Tony Robbins hater. It's going like it's a bunch of rah rah like this. You know, people, everybody has haters.
Well, what do you say to the people listening that are thinking, okay, maybe I should do this, but I can't figure out if I can deal with the hate? What would you say to them?
I would say, why are you wasting your time thinking about what haters think? And that is why they're not doing it. Like, listen, if you're listening to this conversation and somewhere you feel a calling to be like, yeah, I want to share my message with more people. Like, I want to, there's something inside of me that I want to share. There's only one reason why you wouldn't, and it is fear. It is, and fear is a totally self-centered concept. Like, not, there's a difference between fear and danger. Danger is like, you're actually in danger. Fear is completely self-centered. You only feel fear when you're going, I don't know if anyone will, I don't know what to say, and I don't have the knowledge, and I'm not smart enough, and someone else already did that, and why would anyone listen to me? And what if these haters show up, and like, what if my family makes fun of me? What if my friends from high school, like, you know, but there is no fear when the mission to serve becomes clear.
And was that yours?
Yeah.
There's a good one.
Drop of bombs, man. That's why we're here.
There is no fear when the
mission to serve becomes clear.
Yeah.
Right? Like the way that firefighters aren't scared, right? They're scared. But they're there to serve, right? They're going to help somebody, right? Just like if we're driving down the road or you're driving down the road and you see a car flip over and you hear someone hollering for help, you go over to help that person. You're not thinking about how does my hair look? And is my outfit cute or does my breath stink? You're going to help somebody. You're focused on serving them. And that's what a personal brand should be. This is the other irony. This is like the other major thing. People have no clue about personal branding. They think it's like all about them. And it's like, oh, it's vanity and it's followers. It's like, no, it is going, I am here to help somebody. And if I can help somebody, great. Hopefully they tune in. If I can't or they're not interested, then no problem. But like, I'm not playing for the applause of many. I'm playing for the impact of one. And that's who you should be focused on. And by the way, we think in a very metaphysical sense, the calling that you feel on your heart to share your message with the world, we actually believe that that is the result of a signal that's being sent out by somebody else. And that signal is being sent by somebody who needs you, which means they actually need you way more than you need them, right? You might be trying to make money or grow your influence or drive some leads to your business. They are searching and hunting and quite possibly on their hands and knees praying for answers to questions or solutions to problems that you have walked through. And so for us, the mission-driven messenger is going, how do we facilitate that connection to that person? And, you know, you don't need millions of followers to make millions of dollars. And that's why it's mission-driven messengers. It's not that money doesn't matter. We do care about money. We're good at making money. It's just that it's subservient to the mission. And it's like the person who gets super clear on like, yeah, I want to help somebody. You don't need this podcast, dude. Like, you're fine, successful, influential before this. You're doing it for some reason. Maybe to grow your influence more. Yeah, you see other people.
Who, me?
Yes, but intuitively, it's got to be deeper than that because this is a pain. This is a pain to put on a podcast. You, somewhere not deep down, me. You care, though.
Yeah, but not for me, but you're exactly right. I mean, if you go read our mission statement, it's to get the knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it.
Yep.
Because I think deep down, my whole family, a lot of good, solid people, never went anywhere financially. They were kind of, I like to say blue collar, not low class, because I mean, what low income, middle class, upper class, what
upper class humans, lower class wealth.
Yeah. But my point is, just because you don't have any money doesn't make you low class.
No, that's what I'm saying. They can be upper class as a human, their character.
Exactly. And I've seen some upper class dickheads, but at the end of the day, I'm talking about my family was mostly good, hardworking American, freaking bread of the earth or salt of the earth,
you know,
people.
It's good.
But they didn't get anywhere. They didn't get anywhere financially.
Yeah.
You know, they could rationalize why their life turned out. But guess what? They didn't financially get anywhere. They didn't help a lot of people. They just basically rationalized with their good deeds and all that shit.
Or they didn't have someone teach them about
money. They didn't have the right information.
They didn't have the right information.
So when I look at them, I'm like, dude, you just didn't know this, this, and this. Well, holy smokes, you didn't know this. They would have been big time financially successful had they know what I've learned and now what I show people.
Yep.
But they had limited mindsets, they had limited skill sets, and they had terrible habits.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't have access to the information. Sometimes they get wrong information. I mean, one of the things that breaks my heart is that people think that, like, you're holier if you're poor. Like, somehow that, and I think there's a lot of people who think that, right?
Yeah, your socks are.
But your
undies are.
I think it's a misinterpretation, I think, of what, you know, is in the Bible or whatever.
I almost think it's the opposite. Because if you truly understand the whole spiritual realm, well, then you must know that you are a representation, or you should be. And a representation should be winning, should be doing the things and providing the example. And dude, I don't know about you, but I don't think God wants you poor.
Well, I mean,
God gave you gifts, brother, hoping you'd use them.
God is a creator. And we are created in his image, and we are told, be fruitful and multiply. That's actually the first instruction in Genesis 1:28 is the first command that God delivers to humanity. It's not.
And I'll translate it for some of you guys.
Be fruitful and multiply.
Go win.
It also makes go make. It also means go make babies.
Yeah, I got seven kids. How many you got?
I got two babies.
So I got seven. Who's listening more?
Golly, man. I don't know how you can't. I like having kids is kicked my butt.
This is why I started the podcast, because I had Cardone and Tony Robbins and all these experts coming through my studios to make their courses, and I thought, dude, What better time is there to have them just sit down on a microphone? So I got two microphones. Everyone told me, come on, dude, everyone's got a podcast. You're not going to be another one. I said, dude, listen, they're in the studio anyway. I can talk to them and just have a real conversation, not a course and not their spiel, but man, really. And I'll dig into where, like, what happened when you lost that? And because they're not talking about that in these courses.
Yeah.
So I said, man, this is an opportunity to get the knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it. And that's my mission. So I started this for the exact purpose that you said you should start it. And maybe that's why it's successful.
Service. It is why it's successful. It is why it's successful.
And I've had a lot of people email, DM, contact me. I've had people cry for me.
Yes.
Like they'll come up and, dude, their lips are twitching. And they're like, dude, you changed my life. And I said, really? How? Oh, man. This one guy said he listened to the podcast where I had a buddy of mine on, and his mom died and his dad died within a week. And he sat there on the couch. He grew man boobs and he felt sorry for himself for like 8 months. And I blasted his ass. I said, dude, what are you doing? Like, you got man boobs. You used to be buff. You used to be like on the way to be a country singer. And now you're like a fat man boob shadow of yourself because your mom died, bro? Because your dad died? And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, bro, what do you think they're thinking right now looking down at you? They are sad and disheartened that you're doing this. And dude, it changed him. And then it apparently changed a dude that was about ready to commit suicide. So it's like, you never know who you're talking to and why you're talking, but if you serve, if you put them first, I'll bet you anything, you lose the fear of, you know, who's going to think what, because I don't really care what people think.
That's right. You're serving.
And I don't fake it. You know, Zig Ziglar was obviously very faith-based.
Yeah, he was my personal mentor.
Well, I closed Zig and Tom. Tom was running the company at the time. Him. Zig was probably 78.
On Lightspeed? Yeah. Is this on Lightspeed?
I have a video of Zig going, use Lightspeed VT like I did. And I'm like, let's see someone get one of those. But anyway, I closed those guys. And one time Tom said, Brad, you know, what Dad and I liked about you. And I said, what? And he said, you didn't use Jesus to try and close us.
Oh.
And I said, what do you mean? He goes, everybody that knows we're faith-based, you know, wants to use it, you know, and they aren't really living that way, but they use it. And when we asked you, how's your faith with Christ? You said, it needs some work. Mm-hmm. And you never once brought it up or leveraged it in any way. He said, we like that about you. That's why you got to keep it real. I got the deal because of that. Everybody else trying to get the deals emailing yours in Christ, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully I'll pray about the connection and we'll meet again in the future. Until then, yours in Christ, Bradley. Like, dude, be real.
Yeah. Yeah. You do that. I mean, that's like, again, that's why people follow you. They're not getting a diluted version of you. They're not skeptical of if they're getting the real you. Like, they're clear. So they may bounce because they don't like you, but they are clear that they're getting the real you. And yeah, that counts for a lot. It's just going like, am I talking to the real person here?
And you know, there's also people that won't bounce because they don't like you. In other words, they're like, they want to stick around to listen to you because they can't stand you. Those are the best though.
Yeah, they're good for the algorithm.
Yes,
they are. They drive up the watch time and the engagement with their nasty comments.
Yeah, and again, some people don't realize that when I make a post sometimes, it's so two sides will have an opinion and debate it for me.
That's what good media people do. Media is not about accuracy. Media is about attention.
Well, I believe men should provide and protect.
I know. I've seen you talk about this.
Okay. So again, make a post about it. Now you'll start getting all the men who don't believe that. Oh, you're a simp. Oh, what about when she's a hoe? You know, all this crap. And I don't say anything. And they just go back and forth because guess what? There's a whole bunch of people that believe what I believe. And there's a whole bunch of people that don't. Well, once they start flapping and talking, they literally forget about who said it.
Yeah, they're just arguing with each other.
Back and forth, dude. I get 565 comments on a post, and I made one. Mm-hmm. So that's, to me, like what you're doing is I like to say I'm starting a conversation because I think we've convinced a lot more people that a man's role, in my opinion, what's it say biblically?
What do you mean?
What about a man's role? What is a man? What should they be responsible for?
Well, the first verse that comes to mind for me about that is that you should love your wife as Christ loved the church, which means that you are, you know, looking after and protecting and, you know, I think protect, provide, serve. I think that's the first verse that comes to mind to me. You know, when I look at the life of Jesus, I see a life of surrender and the paradox of washing feet, right? Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. This is part of what I love about Christianity, like separate from what I believe. Every other, like almost every other religion is like you become good enough to get to heaven, or you're aspiring to like be holy enough to get into heaven. The story of Christianity is very different. God comes down here and he comes poor and he comes to a poor family and he's born not in a hospital, in a barn where nobody cared and nobody knew.
Is that what a manger is?
That's what a manger is. He was born in a stable. There was no room at the inn because of the census that had been called.
And, which tells you it wasn't December, by the way.
Well, yeah. It was not. Yeah, and it wasn't December, but like.
So why do we celebrate his birthday on December?
You know, that's a weird one that I haven't dove into there, but it is not December 25th. I am clear on that.
Well, I will tell you after the show because we don't want to make this. I'll tell you.
But I think I go, you know, it's this idea of service. Like to me, being a man is service, is to go, I am willing to trust that my significance comes out of my service, not out of my notoriety. We got the bomb.
I got good sound effects.
It's
when you don't want.
Nice. I'll see if I can get us one of those. I think that, and then going back to the money thing, right? Like, I'm not saying that rich people are more holy. I'm saying that what's clear to me in the Bible is I don't think that God cares about how much, like, it's not about how much money you have. He cares about your heart. What he wants is to be first in your life. What he wants is that you seek first the kingdom of God, that the number one slot is him, to go, I willfully lay down everything else to go, I am chasing you, and I'm chasing your love, and I'm receiving your love, which I never really understood until I had kids. Because kids, people talk about, I might catch some flack for this, but like kids, people talk about, oh, kids are so cute and amazing. It's like, kids are lying, messy thieves. Like, they steal, they lie, they destroy the house. They're so much effort. There's so much energy. They're money sucking pits. Like, they, and yet you go, I would give my life for this little creature. And you go, there's nothing that my kid could ever do that would make me stop loving him. And there's nothing that my kid can give me other than love that I care about. And when I had kids, and it really connected to me, because previous to Jesus, we were talking about the name, right? In the Old Testament, God has many names. Yahweh, which was really written W-H-Y-H, the tetra.
Y-H-W-H.
And then some of them was Jehovah, which is Y-J, or Y-V-W-H, the tetra.
Vod.
Called the tetramonogram or the tetramogram or something. Anyways, but then there, you know, there is El Shaddai, which is the Lord Almighty, or Almighty. There is Adonai, which is the Lord. There is Jehovah Jireh, which is, you know, provider.
There's Elohim.
Elohim, yeah.
But those are what he was called. His name, he only had one name.
He gave himself one name, Yahweh. And
that's it.
But then when Jesus comes on the scene, so this was like blew my mind. So when Jesus shows up, Jesus refers to him as Abba.
Father.
And they go, and then when the disciples say, teach us how to pray, Jesus says, our Father. And that is a radical change that's easy to skip over, like, especially if you don't like read the Bible, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible, like, but to go, Jesus transformed our relationship with God from the El Shaddai, the Almighty, the all-powerful, which God is, but he created this intimate access of a father going, you don't have to earn the Father's love. He doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't care what you've done. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to stop loving you. It doesn't matter. He loves you because you're his, the way that you love your child, because they're yours. And that blew my freaking mind when I had kids, and it didn't really sink in fully until I had kids. And you go, what is the role of a man, right? Like, what is the role of a father? I go, well, what do I do with my kids? I'm serving them. Like, I'm basically working for them. I'm, you know, taking care of them, spending all of our money on them.
You're not spending it all.
I mean, we're not spending it all on them, but we're spending money doing their stuff. But I think it's just, it's the idea of going, I'm laying my life down for something that is beneath me. So
you should, I think.
Yeah.
You're the man. Now, again, provide and protect, nurture and support. So what's the role of a woman? Nurture and support. Someone says, well, I can do that. Yeah, there can be interchangeable roles, but what are the roles for me in my household? I'm there to provide and protect. I need to go make the money. I need to bring home the bacon. I need to protect and secure and protect. Right? Now, again, well, God is, I understand all that spiritual stuff. I'm talking about me. I got to provide and protect for my family. My wife should nurture and support the family. And again, you need both. So does it mean that she can't provide and protect? Of course she can. And she does. That's not a role, though. So again, when people are listening to me, they want to argue that, hey, no, if my wife works, she can work. My wife can work too. She just doesn't have to. There's a difference, man. I know guys that if their wife doesn't contribute financially, they got a problem. It's like, dude, you're the man, bro.
Well,
you're the man.
And as a man, and this as a person in general, I feel like it's like, success principles, which are not always identical to biblical principles, but like in success principles, it's like, you got to take charge of your own life. And that is, there's plenty of like, there,
male or female
there. Yes. And there is plenty in the Bible. Idle hands grow poor, and like the lazy, like there's nothing soft about not working in the Bible. Like if we're given these divine gifts, we should use them, which, might seem like a distant connection to our conversation about personal branding, but I do not think so. I believe that going back to what problem do you solve? Look at Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa dedicated her life to solving poverty. She gave her life for that. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
She didn't do very well.
She didn't make a lot of money, but she helped.
She didn't do very well towards poverty because it's still in existence.
Well,
didn't even make a dent.
So
she helped lives, though, helped, that's for sure.
She helped people. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. dedicated his life to solving the problem, right, of inequality, racism. What problem would you dedicate your life to? And when you look at the world, look around and go, what breaks your heart, right? Like, what makes you cry? And what are you passionate about? Not just, like, sunshine and rainbows passion, but like what pisses you off? What makes you mad?
Child abuse.
Whatever the thing is, and there's multiple things you look at in the world and you go, I'm not okay with that. I think for you, it has something to do with being poor. Like I feel a lot of energy around the idea of like, you're deeply convicted and going, people should be successful.
Well, they can be and they should be. They just don't know how to be. Like every person I see that's broke and struggling and, limited and depressed and all of that, you can change that.
And you get right. And that pisses you off. And that's where you go, I need to do something about this. Like I need to like set your mind right.
The child abuse give you a pisses plan. Me off more.
Physical child abuse.
Yeah. So should I change?
Well, you could, but I think it's when you look at personal brand strategy, which is what we do, we're looking at it through not just the lens of passion, but also profit, right? And we're looking at the lens of alignment. So
strategy.
It's a strategy, right? So you go, what, there's a reconciliation, like your uniqueness lives at the intersection between who the world needs you to be and who you feel called to be. Right? It's your uniqueness usually lies at the intersection also somewhere of your past and everything you are called to do in the future. And we're looking for a blend of going, okay, well, what problems can I solve? Because you can dedicate your life to more than one thing. You know more than one thing. But from a strategy of picking a personal brand and going like, I want to hammer this problem. I want to go, I feel equipped and passionate about doing something about this problem. So let's say with you, for example, let's say it was poverty. And you're like, I'm going to teach people how to break free from poverty. And I'm going to give them the tools and access to the people. And I'm not only going to do that, I'm going to give them jobs, right? We and I were talking about that and going, I want to create a mechanism, a machine that breaks people free from poverty. Now you have this other passion over here for child abuse. You go, great. I could use my personal brand to do that. I also could make a whole bunch of money teaching people how to break free from poverty and then take my money and fund all the people who during work on child abuse.
That's more like it.
Right? So there's different ways to solve different problems. But when it comes to like your personal brand, most personal brands fail because they're bouncing off of something that we call Sheehan's wall. So I named this after a colleague of mine, Peter Sheehan, who originally this is his concept. And he talks about it in the corporate world. We adapted to personal brands. And so we named it after him. He didn't name it after himself. But in any vertical, in any market, in any industry, there's two groups of people. There are those who are unknown they're living in obscurity. And then there are those who are well known. They have notoriety. And in between is this invisible wall that we call Sheehan's wall. And what most people do who are living in obscurity is they look at the people who are well known to model after, right? And they look at Tony Robbins, they look at Gary Vaynerchuk, and they look at Oprah, and they look at The Rock, and they go, well, you know, Tony Robbins talks about money and he talks about health and, you know, personal performance. And he talks about, you know, living forever. And, you know, and Gary Vaynerchuk talks about Web3 and he talks about sports and music and social media and business and whatever and ever. And so we go, oh, I want to be like that. So I'm going to talk about lots of topics. And then they launch lots of platforms and they're like, oh, I got to be on Twitter and I got to, or X, right? And I got to be on, you know, TikTok and I got to have a podcast and YouTube. And so they're trying to keep up with all of these. And then every time you scroll through social media, there's somebody pitching a new business model like, hey, the way to make money is through masterminds or launching a live event or doing courses or doing retreats or, you know, writing a book or becoming a speaker. And so they have all these different business models and they're talking about too many topics to too many audiences on too many platforms. And they're chasing, you know, multiple streams of revenue, which I think is horrible advice for beginners. Nobody that I know that has gotten rich got rich from multiple revenue streams. Nobody who became famous got famous from talking about lots of things. The way you break through the wall, and because what happens is if you have diluted focus, you get diluted results. And so most people are bouncing off the wall because they're doing all of this stuff. The way you break through the wall, and if it was a literal wall, if I took a sledgehammer and I'm hitting all over on the wall, nothing's going to happen. But if I hit that same spot over and over and over, it's going to chip and then it's going to crack and then it's like going to peel and open. And then I break through the wall by becoming the world's best on one thing, right? The greatest chef, the greatest dancer, the greatest whatever. And you break through the wall on that one thing. And then once you break through the wall, you can reach through and pull back and the whole wall starts falling apart. And so, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, let us not forget that he became Gary Vaynerchuk by talking about one subject, wine, on one platform, YouTube. So you can't look at what famous people are doing today and model off of them. You have to look at what they did to get there. And so that's coming back to our whole premise of find your uniqueness, find the one thing that you can be super well known for and break through the wall.
Boom. Dude, there's a lot of people listening. They're going to reach out to you. Where do they go? The best place to go?
Freebrandcall.com/Bradley.
So that's where you'd prefer them to go.
Yeah, that's where they should go. I will give them one other thing. Like if they're, you know, if you're not ready for the call, or if you're just kind of like curious about the study. So we spent over $50,000 on this research, this national research study to like look at the data, right? Cause I didn't want to be just another person like, you know, here's my feelings on personal brand. Right. So if you go to freebrandstudy.com/Bradley,
You did /Bradley everywhere.
That's right, man. So
you want to track my influence?
We want to track your influence.
Guys, we'll listen, back make to sure you hit the forward Bradley so they know that I got more influence than a pickle. Normally, when I talk about business and people and, you know, their business blows up, not blows up, but like gets a lot of attention, their following increases, except one guest when I said, how what happened? He says, like, you know, I got some followers, but like, you know, nobody really, you know, hit me up. And I'm like, dude, that's crazy. Like, dude, I feel bad almost. Why? I'm like, well, because, dude, my bomb squad usually is very interested in the things we do. Not all of them, but a lot of interest. And then I went and looked at the video one day and I noticed that the link
was the wrong
link.
Oh.
So everybody was hitting me up shortly after it dropped talking about freaking, hey, how do I get a hold of? How do I get a hold of? So, number one, if the link doesn't work for any reason, go to @RoryVaden, V-A-D-E-N. Follow him on Instagram, DM his ass. Go to @BrandBuildersGroup, which is what he does. Go there, or RoryVaden.com, or BrandBuildersGroup.com, or listen to his podcast, the Influential Personal Brand Podcast. Is that regular?
Yeah. Yeah, that is. Yeah. And then we have the Eternal Life podcast now, which is the separate one. Cause when I recorded all that content, you know, when I sat down to like document for
you
my,
sent me that
for my, I did send it to you.
I need to listen, but it's a long series.
It's long because originally when I had that thought about, oh my gosh, what happens if my kids die and I never get to tell them this? I was like, I'm just going to record one special episode, put it on our Influential Personal Brand podcast. But then I made the outline. It was 95 pages. And so then I recorded the content. It's 15 episodes. And I was like, I can't do 15 episodes. Like, that'd be pretty big departure from our normal programming. Yeah. So they were like, okay, we'll just start a new podcast. And it's not that the Eternal Life podcast doesn't get updated every week. It's just there. And you can skip to like, you know, the seven questions.
I bet you get a lot of people wanting that too. I get a lot of faith-based followers too.
Well, yeah, man. I love this. Like, I love how God has used this whole discussion about what is his name and the miracle of like your baby, like the drowning in the pool, that whole almost near drowning. And it, like, it's amazing because there's so many people and this, we'll talk, this is in the faith conversation, but this applies to personal branding to go. There's so many people that are probably thinking about God who never would have thought about it because they're not going to walk into a church. But because you're talking about it, they're kind of like open to it. And that can be the same about any personal brand, right? Is they're going, they listen through you. We call this the law of the frequency. You were actually talking about something very similar with me before we started. But if you have two radio stations in the same town playing the exact same song at the same moment, people can only hear one of them. Why? Because they're only tuned, you can only be tuned into one frequency at a time. And so even though you might be saying exactly what Tony Robbins says or exactly what Grant Cardone says or exactly what Brad Lee says, you're going to say it different. And it's coming from it's not just the message, it's the messenger. And because it's coming from you, it is unique. And you are most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. So all that really matters is, who do I want to dedicate my life to serving? And what challenge have I conquered? What setback have I survived? What tragedies have I triumphed over? What obstacles have I overcome? And if I can talk about those things, you're going to make a big difference in the world and people will be attracted to you.
There you have it, folks. Hope you took notes. If not, go get your free brand call, .com/Brad Lee.
That's it.
And that's LEA, free brand call /Brad Lee. He'll give you a free call, break it down, and see if there's a way to go for you. I would highly recommend you do it. A personal brand has done more for me than I think almost anything I can think of. I was just writing something for that event that I'm going to do. And it said, people were saying, well, write the copy. And I said, learn how to build a personal brand, which for me has been the most valuable asset I've ever created. Huh. All my investments, all my goods and services and material things, I would have gave all that for the brand. Why? Because the brand will get replaced over and over and over. And more importantly, you can make the impact. You can help the people you want to help because you can direct that brand and leverage that brand to put the spotlight on whatever it is you care about. And that might change. So build a personal brand, folks. Free personal brand call.com.
Free brand call.com/Brad Lee
or hit me in the DM. I'll connect you with the dude. Appreciate you coming.
Thanks, bro.
And as always, till next time, keep it real.